Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hi, mate.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
I'm all right. Yeah. Not used to doing this on a Tuesday.
Yes, so Laurie is doing the Raw review today because Oliver Davis is a little bit under the weather, as you will have heard.
I believe he's passed it all on to all of us as well.
Well, yeah, there's definitely something that's been going around the office because I was quite ill on Friday and I was really struggling. Anyone who watched this, like the weekend video or listened to the podcast, I was in a very, very bad way on Friday. I was really, really struggling. And Saturday, I was a total wreck.
Like it's a lot of dudes in a very small office space. We're basically working in a Petri dish. Currently.
I was a complete wreck on Saturday. Basically took me out of commission for that day. And I had to tidy the house up as well. Like I had to do chores and stuff.
Oh, boring.
And it was...
I would have parked those.
It was not the easiest time ever.
That would have been a straight to move the to-do list till tomorrow.
Well, the problem is that we had
I'm
to get them
very
done.
Very busy.
We had to get them done on Saturday because we were hosting on Sunday and I had to get down to the pub for midday.
Terrible.
So and we still had like some stuff that was left there. I mowed the lawn on Sunday morning, so I got like a big long list of things I had to do. And it wasn't fun.
No.
I really, really struggled.
Sounds like a rubbish weekend.
Well, I mean, it was on Saturday at the very least. When I got to hang out with my wife, which is always the best thing ever. But on the Sunday...
Doing your chores.
Doing our chores together.
Like the beginning of Snow White, but another person is there.
Exactly.
And we one of you is the woodland creatures.
And we watched The Silence, that Netflix not a Quiet Place movie. Although it basically is. It's A Quiet Place again, but this time from the director of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And The Butterfly Effect 2.
Yeah. A quieter place, but its subtext is louder.
And towards the end, it just goes like, oh, do you know what this needs to be? YA. And it's pretty bad. It's a proper stinker.
Yeah.
It's a proper no good film.
See, I watched Baywatch on the weekend.
Oh, really?
I've seen it before.
Yeah.
My God, it's a weird film.
I
really like it, but I also watch it and I'm just like, this is like, you've dropped so many F-bombs that were just needless. Mind your language, The Rock. It is just one of those films where it's just like, I can see kind of what you were going for, but you never quite reach the point that you were aiming at. You were aiming to sort of turn it into... what was the one with Channing Tatum that was...
21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street. You were trying to hit that sort of line of remake, and you never quite got there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely what they were aiming for. Yeah. But I don't think... Because me and my wife didn't finish it.
There's a lot of boner jokes.
Yeah.
A lot of boner jokes.
We didn't quite finish it. And I can't remember why we didn't finish it. But we didn't in the end. But I do want to give it another shot. But not like, you know, I'm not in a massive rush to give it another shot.
No, it wasn't that. I feel like my favorite line of the whole movie is just the two henchmen. There's a bit where he's like, my friend is a man of few words, so... He's just a man of action. And he just goes, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, oh, every time. I'm always bigging you up and you're just knocking it down again.
So on the Sunday, I had to go down to the pub because my sister-in-law was launching her own podcast.
Whoa.
Which I'm going to give a shout out to now, the Sistery History Podcast. I don't think it's available in feeds just yet, but I'm certainly going to give it a shout out as many times as I possibly can and get away with. Sistery History is where you want to go. It's her and her friend Rhea talking about badass women from history that you might not have heard about. Mm-hmm. And we listened to the first episode on the Sunday and it was excellent. But I was very, very drunk. And I'm not saying I was very drunk and that's why I enjoyed the show. The show is excellent.
I love something for a woman from history, lion barn,
Yorkies.
Crocheting in the garden.
We went to the pub and then I had quite a few Peronis there. 5% beers, I learned.
Might I add. I'm a real man's man.
Considering like a session ale. It was quite the something about it.
The potent Peroni.
And then, God, we just kept on drinking. And we watched Legally Blonde and it were ace. But, God, I was. But all the while we were there and I was like, do you know what, though? It's fine. Because tomorrow, I don't have to do a video.
Yeah,
I'm not on screen tomorrow.
Perfect.
Everything will be A-OK. I just have to get up in the morning and watch NXT TakeOver Chicago from 2017 for the Patreon podcast.
What a dream. That's what I'd do on a hangover anyway.
Exactly. This will be dead easy. Nope. Got a text message from Ollie Davis going, I'm not well.
Could you do the
news? And I was just sitting there. My head was banging. My stomach was flipping. And I was like, no.
Yeah, you had a pretty impressive lunch. You had the lunch of a hungover man.
I went to go get a very, very healthy wrap from the coffee shop up the road.
Absolutely not.
I went to go get the healthy wrap from the shop. The healthy wrap from up the road. But then got a load of greasy chips to go with it, covered in burger
I didn't realise it was the healthy wrap.
Oh, it was the healthy one. I didn't get the...
So you went across the bridge?
Yeah, to the coffee shop up there. So I got the beetroot falafel one, which is excellent.
And then you got chips.
And then I got chips to go with it because I was walking back and I was like, I mean, this is delightful, but...
Chips.
I do want some chips.
Yeah. I need some soak. I need some soak right now.
And I just sadly ate them in quiet.
Yeah, no one really talked yesterday, to be fair. No, I think we were all hungover.
And somehow I managed to lock myself in the studio.
That was the best one. That was when I realised Luke didn't want to be disturbed. I came down to the studio to grab something, tried the door, and it was locked. I was like, that has never happened before.
Yeah, I just walked in and seemingly, I don't know why, I just turned around and I locked the door. Didn't really think much of it, just so I could edit. And I was just editing down here on my own for a little while.
Goodbye, world.
And then when you opened the door, I was like, I locked the door. Ooh. I didn't even know why I did that. And then I thought, okay, I can't be down here on my own. I do need to go back to society in some capacity. So I went back and hung out with you and Simon for a change. Oh, but it was a bloody miserable day. News was good, though. News did well. Anyway.
Yeah. Tuesday, it's a new day.
Tuesday, it's a new day. Yes, it is. And we are going to be reviewing Monday Night Raw, which we've not recorded yet because we're recording this before the show itself, but I'm sure it's going to go excellently. If you wondered what that weird noise was while Laurie was talking, it's because Randy Datsun was picking up his microphone, and I don't know if that'll cause some issues, but it might do. But anyway, Randy's in the room with us now. Hi, Randy.
Hello. I don't think it did. I was very quiet.
Yeah, I know, but still picking up a microphone at any points will always cause some sort of sound and muffle knots. That was Randy again. Anyway, here is the show. We got a recap of Strowman attacking Sami Zayn last week, and he was doing an interview with Charlie Caruso backstage and saying, I wish I'd hurt Sami more. I'm like, oh, what a baby face you are.
Yeah, it was someone going to Braun like, do you feel bad that you almost killed a man? It's like, what is wrong with your HR?
Of course, I
hate this with Braun. He like keeps almost killing people, and the most he gets is someone following around just going like, does that make you... He's just having the sociopath test every week. Yeah. He's like, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, but apparently he feels fine about it. He says he's going to go to Money in the Bank and win, but a stagehand walks up and says that Omni Shane McMahon wants to have a chat with him. And it turns out that... And it was weird as well because I thought that Charlie had said that Sammy was really hurt last week. He seemed fine.
He was cool.
He seemed absolutely fine and dandy. But he's backstage with Shane McMahon and says that he's got a brilliant idea. He challenges Braun Strowman to a Falls Count Anywhere match later in the night where he will get Braun's Money in the Bank position mm-hmm. if he wins.
Yeah, so he asks Shane initially, he just wants Braun's spot. He's like, I deserve Braun's spot as the only form of repercussion for him putting me in a bin and having me trash compacted.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair enough. If you're not going to call the police, maybe. I don't know.
Braun said he wished he was turned into a cube.
Yeah.
He wished actual death upon him.
I wish he was turned into a cube. Yeah, i.e.,
so I think Sammy was well within
which
his rights.
Which is, I think, what he does to his chicken before he puts... Anyway, yeah, I just think this was... I hate it. It's stupid. But I like the stipulation for this match. I
exactly,
think it's a good stipulation. It's a good use of Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it was really nice because actually it gave the main event some big stakes because Braun could be taken out of Money in the Bank. They've been putting him over as a previous winner. They don't mention that he cashed in and failed, but you know that's reserved for Baron Corbin only in this Money in the Bank lineup. So that really felt like the main event had a lot of weight and a lot of stakes to it, which if you're a big Braun Strowman fan was compounded and made even bigger when Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre kept constantly interfering.
Yeah. Well, because initially, that's what's quite good about this booking, is that initially it seemed like such a dumb idea for Sami Zayn to be like, I want a Falls Count Anywhere match with Braun Strowman. And then you just forget that, you know, you kind of sweep under the rug that there's ever the no DQ. So, like, people can just turn up and help out. Like, it's perfect. It's good planning. It positions Sammy as quite a clever heel here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I liked it.
And he was always going to the places where he knew Corbin and McIntyre were.
Because he was baiting Braun for the match.
Exactly, so they go out into the concourse area, which I've been to the O2 quite a lot, so it was very nice and familiar, really. I know that place.
I've been there. There's a bar just down...
And then they went through a merch table, which I know for a fact isn't there. Yeah. That's not what the merch is downstairs. But it was really cool, and Baron attacked him and threw a bin at him, which I thought was cool. It was a nice visual, and Sammy was trying to constantly get a pin on Braun throughout this. And it was just cool, because like having the crowd around them while everyone was Braun, it was a really nice touch.
He kept trying to just sneak the pin in, didn't he? And he just kept getting twos.
And then eventually he managed to get to a different backstage area where Drew attacked Braun, and they hit him with more plunder and things like that. And you particularly enjoyed...
My favourite moment of the whole segment was... he gets it. He's like, pin him, Sammy. And then he gets it too. And he's just like, you've got to be bloody kidding me. So good.
It's really great. I want more Drew
shouting at people.
Yeah. And he like DDT'd Braun onto a chair and all this sort of stuff. But Braun just kept getting back up because he's Franken Braun and you can't put him down. So, and it was absolutely fine. It was really good. Got onto the stage, Morth tossing Sammy around. Baron and Drew show up again, beat him down further. Drew gives him a claymore. They put him through a ladder. And then eventually, Sammy pins him.
So they have to drag Sammy on top and press down themselves.
Well, he's small.
So he
wouldn't have been able to beat Braun.
That's the only thing I don't like about this is, again, it's just the sort of like this people caught in the vortex of Braun just look like chumps. And it has to be some other big dude that comes and saves them for their own gain here. And like, you know, this was at least cleverly positioned in the fact that it was Corbin and McIntyre have reasons to help Sammy, because getting Strowman out of the Money in the Bank match is taking away the winner of last year's. So like it's taking away the monster that people can't beat. So Sammy is much more easily beaten. And when he wins here, and he's all surprised and shocked, and he goes backstage to celebrate, Corbin is the one who slings him back out on the stage.
Yeah, like an absolute div. An absolute dick just throws him back out on the stage so Braun can put him through a table, send the crowd home happy. So it was a nice little cute moment. I'd have probably saved that for like the dark match segments.
Yeah.
Like do that after the cameras have gone. So your actual lasting image is Sammy celebrating and Braun seething.
Yeah.
Because then that will like add some intrigue and some Money in the Bank of people tuning that. Because... Yeah. Sammy's not winning Money in the Bank. Like Braun's going to come out and absolutely destroy him.
I think Braun is winning Money in the Bank. So I think Braun might just put the ladder down and go up and take it and be like, bye guys. Like,
you stole my spot. Yeah, and just grab it and run off. It's not a bad shout to
me. Someone
has
to try and get it off him. Like, have a go.
But really, at the end of the day, this is good news.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this is good news. Because when they announced the Raw lineup of Money in the Bank entrance and it was Baron and Drew and Braun and Ricochet was the only one in there, that I was like, oh, cool, I'm excited to see Ricochet in this match.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just these three...
Ricochet can do something with a ladder.
Yeah, there's just these three tall dudes. And I love Drew, but I think Drew has been flattened out so much since his... since his split with Dolph Ziggler, but even before then, when he's just been constantly sidelined as a lackey for someone else. I mean, that's all Drew's done since coming up to the main roster is being a lackey, whether it's Dolph, whether it's Baron, whether it's Braun. He's just always someone else's second.
Yeah.
So he doesn't excite me the way that he probably should do being in a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Well, he should be the mastermind. He should be the leader.
Yeah.
I think he's the most charismatic beyond Dolph Ziggler, obviously. But like out of all the teams he's been in, he's the charismatic one.
Yeah.
Really. And the actually sounds vicious and angry when he cuts promos.
Sounds legit.
Is good in the like is amazing in the ring, in amazing shape, the right size, like he should be the guy, and I just don't know why they're just not doing anything with him to make him the guy.
No, yeah, it's very, very true. But I think taking Braun out of the Money in the Bank ladder match and putting Sami Zayn in has made me so much more excited for that match.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the problem is that I think the addition of Braun just means that everything becomes the Braun show. If he's in a Rumble, it's the Braun show for 10 minutes. If he's in a Money in the Bank match, it's the Braun show for 10 minutes. And there's just always this bit where he just kills everyone and then eventually posts himself. And he always posts himself.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And it's so boring.
He is OP'd.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like they need to, if you're going to make someone that strong, use him more sparingly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's boring. Like I don't like watching him put Sami Zayn in the bin. I don't think that's fun.
No. And I really hope as well that Sam, I'm kind of glad that they did the, as much as I said I wish the angle had been post show and done as a dark match thing, I'm kind of glad that it sort of happened though, because it does mean that Sami, Drew and Corbin are not a new mid-card of evil, which was my worry at one point.
I kind of hope Sami dicks them over and steals the briefcase, like against the Leos, the underdog again.
And he'd actually be great with the briefcase as well.
He'd be really good.
Yeah, he'd be really, really good with the briefcase.
I love his new character. I love the fact that he can kind of hold the whole thing hostage by having the briefcase and just keep interrupting. And there's so much, I think he's got lots of potential with the briefcase beyond just coming in and cashing it in at a random time.
Exactly, yeah. My only concern really coming out of this, though, and you and I sort of briefly discussed this earlier in the office, is that, good Lord, I hope this is not leading to a Braun Strowman versus bloody Baron Corbin feud again, which we just had like a couple of months ago. I never want to see these two wrestle ever again.
I don't care. I'd be quite happy with that, because your reasoning for this is good. My reasoning is, if you put Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman in a feud again, they're not gumming up somebody else's time on Raw, or like you can just like they're not ruining somebody else's.
You're taking two negatives and just putting them together.
You just whack them together, and you can just ignore that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can just watch. You don't have to see Ricochet get put in a trash compactor. You don't have to see Kevin Owens in a toilet. Like, we don't have to see whatever they're going to do to make these two guys seem like monsters or really naughty heels or whatever it is. Like, just have them do their boring stuff together.
And I suppose at least Baron's not the GM now because GMs are antiquated. And so we don't have to see, like, when Baron
we've all found the Omni Shade.
Yeah, where Baron was just Namaste. All over the show, and he was his feud with Braun last year was so boring. It was so turgid. Yeah, well, he is. Mm. It was so turgid. It was liquid crap. Like, it was absolutely terrible television. And it's one of the reasons why ratings, like, is like on a massive decline, because they just drove people away.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any more of that. Although I do like your reasoning of, hey, at least they're not ruining other people's feuds.
Yeah, but as long as it's not the headline feud of the whole thing. Like, I think the problem was, like, last year's Corbin-Strowman feud was placeholder headline feud because they had all these other problems going on. So, like, at least if they do this, this can just be a mid-card act that goes on. But it was the main event here. So,
yeah
clearly they don't think that. Like, they bloomin' love Braun.
They love
a bit of Braun.
And Braun's grand.
And he is grand, but used in the right way and not every week.
Which I don't think they have done now for a year plus.
Mm.
Like, I don't think Braun has had a good program for some time now. I'm trying to even think when his last good feud would have been.
I just don't like babyface Braun.
He is better as a heel. I would say that he was better as a heel, but his like heel run towards the end of last year when when they
he randomly turned heel and he was with Braun and Dolph was quite bad. Not Braun and Dolph,
yeah.
Sorry, Drew and Dolph.
Yeah,
quite
that
bad.
Was terrible though.
Yeah,
that
for like money in the for Hell in the
Cell.
Like
that. Was that against the Shield? That was against Shield.
Yeah, it was against Shield. Yeah. Well, they basically just needed like, we need three.
We
dudes.
Need three guys.
We need three Shield opponents.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to look at the positive side of this because I actually quite liked this episode of Raw. In fact, actually, I'm going to say I really enjoyed this week's Raw. I thought it was a really good show. We didn't go to it.
No.
Despite the fact that, as you said yesterday, it was 10 minutes from your house.
It was 10 minutes from my house, yeah.
I've got the excuse of it's an hour and 10 minutes from my house, but even then I thought...
I was busy.
And I was hungover. I just didn't want to go.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of wrestling recently.
Yeah, I
want to spend 5 hours watching
really
WWE.
Really not in the mood to go.
No.
but I thought it was a very, very good show. So I'm going to look at the positive side of this. Sami Zayn's in Money in the Bank. That gets a big thumbs up from me.
That is that bit where he goes through the ladder.
Yeah, that is
fun.
Big, big, big thumbs up for me. Braun is out of Money in the Bank. That's another big old thumbs up for me. And it creates a storyline going into Money in the Bank with Braun now annoyed that he's lost his spot. Although, technically, you could go to SmackDown and like just incapacitate one of the other guys and take their spot.
Oh, my
Wildcard,
God.
Wildcard, mate.
I hope he doesn't.
So I'm looking at the positive side of this.
Please don't.
Positivity. Randy Datsun, what did you think of it, mate?
Yeah, it was much better than previous weeks. I enjoyed the fact that Sammy was put into the match. In general, I thought it was a much better episode. So yeah, no, just a shame it was the one we decided that we didn't go to.
Yeah, I know, but did you really want to go? Do you want? Like, have you been to a Raw taping before?
Yeah, I went last year and the year before.
They are boring, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Really boring. House shows, no problem. I'd go to a WWE house show tomorrow.
Yeah,
but as long as it was down the road, but. A live TV taping, I find quite tiresome.
Well, there were two huge, long, talky segments in this show as well that like we'll go into. But like there was a good 40 minutes of watching people blather.
Yeah,
like,
unconvincingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've got some $25 shout-outs that we need to do. And if you want to get your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble by these two handsome devils, all you've got to do is go over to patreon.com/wrestle... Randy does them too. /wrestletalk and donate at the $25 and above bracket. And just like these fine folk, like the Zodiac, Zachary Marsh.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Oh, yes.
Ryan B. Bad.
Oh, lovely stir. This is a tasty Tim Heidenberger. Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Probably better than Kyle Philip O'Reilly.
Big claim.
Ooh. I think he's talking to you, Damian Thompson.
Matthew Thibault, this city on rock and roll.
Oh, amazing.
And Aran Tabori.
Yeah.
I think it's my favorite.
Astounding Abdullah Alanazi.
The Mountain, Matthew Dennis.
Ooh.
Big Bad Blake Lloyd.
Ooh. Boom Boom Cult Sample.
Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Courageous Caleb.
And lastly, the Aussie experience, David Humphreys.
Thank you very, very much. I was really on my shoulder after a while. Thank you very, very much to all of our pledge hammers on Patreon. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. But Randy Datson, can we have some super chats, please?
You can, starting with Vernon Jeffries, who says, I don't know if you guys have already answered this question, but who would you want Bray Wyatt to face with his creepy Firefly Funhouse gimmick? I'll answer that first. I think it's a little Twitter thing suggesting it might be Samoa Joe.
That's what I saw as well. Yeah, he tweeted Samoa Joe saying, like, I think I need to show you a secret, or like show you how to keep a secret or something like that.
I think if we're going to do this, and we've done weeks and weeks of build up where he's just had slowly peeling back the layers of what this character is going to be, this is the time to pull the trigger on Bray Wyatt properly, put a belt on him immediately.
And doing that with Joe's not the worst thing in the world. Yeah. And like, and that's the other thing.
I think the US title is kind of prestigious enough to be like, oh, he's got a belt. But it's also been passed around enough that Joe dropping it doesn't feel too terrible.
Absolutely not. And it's not like Joe's really doing much with the belt at the moment anyway.
He's currently feuding mostly with Dominic.
Well, that's what I feel. I feel like they're more leaning towards a Dominic-Joe feud as opposed to a Joe-Bray feud. Mm. So, yeah, I think giving him the belt is really a good idea. Yeah. And I think Bray could really do with that. I also think as well, based on the feedback that Firefly Funhouse is getting, he's going to be over as a babyface. Like, he's a totally heel character. He is a demonic, scary character.
Yeah.
The crowd is going to absolutely cheer the hell out. It's going to be like the Cena-Wyatt feud from, like, 2015, where Wyatt was supposed to be the heel. But everyone was like, no, he's really cool.
We really
like him. And so WWE were like, oh, better just keep beating him then. Beat him like a drum, and that'll stop people caring about him. Joe would be good.
We hate momentum that's been generated
hate people
naturally.
Getting over. It's terrible. It's not what we want. Randy, more questions, please.
Baron Corbin. Cody Russell says, really want to know how you think Bray's character will go. Do you think it will be nice Bray on the Titantron and evil Bray in the ring?
It's not the worst idea in the world. I'm so curious because I think we might get like an in-ring debut next week.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it doesn't fall into sort of like they're just waiting for someone like Balor. You know, like I know Balor's on the opposite brand, but like they're just gonna do that sort of thing again. My demon versus your spooky man.
And also the Firefly Funhouse stuff has been played on SmackDown as well. And WWE.com themselves said, the Superstar Shakeup is still ongoing. So he could end up on SmackDown. Also wildcard.
Yeah.
Cody
Russell again to say, wish you well, Ollie, and a good day to you too for my wrestling news.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're hoping that Ollie Davis can be fit and healthy again, but it was sad seeing him this morning. It's very sad.
I didn't.
He was a very brave boy, though, when he came in to do the review.
I gave him a plaster.
He was a very brave boy.
And didn't need a plaster.
Oh, he was so croaky and horrible.
I didn't see him. My train was very delayed. Crazy Lewis says, Raw comes to Glasgow again in November this year. I think it would be a great chance for a WrestleTalk holiday, and I get to meet you. That's from Crazy Lewis.
Do you know what? I've never been to Scotland.
Have you not?
I've never been to Scotland.
Glasgow's banging.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to go. I just never have. But me and my wife have been talking about like arranging a road trip for us to go to Scotland for like a week or so. I can't do it this year because we're out of holiday. But something I might try and do next year.
Edinburgh is awesome. Yeah, I love Edinburgh.
So my wife's been to like she's done the comedy festival and things that. So I do really want to go. I just, funnily enough, I've just never been. The furthest north I've gone is Newcastle.
What?
You can ask on my holiday. I booked some holiday for 2 weeks' time, and then the thing I was going to do fell through, so I've now untaken holiday. So
you can have
some of that. I was going to go to Madrid to watch the football, but my brother couldn't get the holiday. So.
Again, nobody asked.
Dylan Voorhees. I wish Ollie was here. Dylan Voorhees says, am I the only one hating the women at the moment? I think he means women's wrestling.
Yeah. Well, he might just be hating women in like comma general. I just hate women.
No, you and Reddit.
And YouTube comments.
Yeah. And 4chan.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I actually really enjoyed the women's four-way match this week. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just in the classic sort of post-WrestleMania holding pattern. It is also that thing of like, because Becky has become this sort of standout star and has two belts, it is hard to do stuff with the women's division because nothing really feels like it's got a lot of stakes. And especially when you then just go, oh yeah, Charlotte again.
Yeah.
And like Lacey, who's like unproven.
And she's not over.
And just to go like, well, you've done a catwalk for 5 weeks, so here's your title shot. Like, all right, well, like, you'd be like, guys!
I think they've done... It's not the worst thing in the world
because
they've got like the two feuds going on for the titles, which granted is involved one of them, and they've got the sort of Money in the Bank, and that seems to getting its. I'd like to say that's getting its own branching storylines, but I don't think it is.
No,
apart from Dana Brooke has got a character, and Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are now friends.
Yeah,
that seems to be sort of about it. Yep. There is a common theory that a conspiracy theory I should add that. The women's segments on TV have become less important since Bruce Pritchard returned.
Ooh.
So maybe it's all. Maybe Pritchard hates women. Mm. Maybe it's not this commenter at all. Maybe it's just Mr. Pritchard Voorhees. That hates women.
What's Dana Brooke's character?
She wants to get the recognition that she thinks she deserves. That's her character, right?
I guess so.
That's what her promo said.
Yeah, well, she's cross about.
She was Charlotte's protege before.
That was a while ago, that, mate.
Start Recording says, after last night, I really want to see a Seth Rollins versus Cesaro feud for the Universal title. It's a crime that Cesaro hasn't had a main event match yet.
I mean, he's been there for like years and years and years. Well, I think a lot of people forget just how long Cesaro's been in WWE
he
on the main roster.
He is unbelievably good, isn't he? He's so fantastic.
Fill for time while I just quickly Google how long it has been since Cesaro.
I think he's been there for like...
I'm going to say 2012 or 11.
Yeah, I think he's been there at least 6 years, something like that.
Yeah, let's have a quick look. WWE. He needs 2011. Yeah, he started in Florida Championship Wrestling in 2011 and then was United States Champion in 2012.
Yeah.
He's been there so long, and they have managed to do pretty much nothing with him.
Well, he was just in a holding pattern, wasn't he, before the bar?
Yeah.
And now they're trying to work out what to do with him again. And I think it's just that thing. They just don't like to put belts on guys like Cesaro.
Or guys that they don't think could cut. Because that was always what held him back previously, was they didn't think he could cut a promo.
Yeah.
Well, he wears that gum shield, doesn't help.
I don't know why he wears that during promos.
Looks like Sheamus might retire. So.
Yes, that was the news yesterday that Sheamus might be winding down his career. So.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, they've redone Cesaro's music, so...
It's all the bar's music.
Well, it sounded a little different to me, but I don't know. Maybe that was just me not having heard it for a long time.
Victor Vega, and this was not just Victor saying this. I lost my something last week after Seth stole my woman. I think he's talking about Becky Lynch.
Oh, of course, because Becky Lynch is now off Demarket.
Yeah.
Because her and Seth are an item. I mean, lads, I think you're probably deluding yourself anyway.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, now I can't date Becky because she's dating Seth Rollins.
Damn it!
That's what's holding me back this entire time.
But I had a ticket.
It was going to happen, surely.
But I commented on her photos.
I liked a couple too.
Matthews says, Ricochet made a Baron Corbin match watchable. Keep up the great work. I don't know if that means to Ricochet or you.
It could be both. I mean, let's keep up the good work, Ricochet. I think you
did fantastic. He did It was in overdrive.
In
that
fairness,
one,
actually, that is one of my notes for that match. This is the best Baron Corbin match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ricochet did good work.
Credit to Ricochet.
Start recording again. Says Andrade has the best streak in WWE right now with his 1-0 status in Raw.
Oh, yeah, he did win on Raw, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just can't pick up a win on SmackDown. Because he's going to win Money in the Bank, that's why.
You think?
Oh, I hope so.
That's why he's been losing all the time.
Yeah.
And Zelina will carry it.
Zelina,
yeah. They look huge in her hands.
Patrick, the Money in the Bank suitcase.
I hope they make a bigger one just for her. To yeah.
Well, like the even Big Show. Ladder.
I hope she comes out on it like a trunkie, just scoots down to the ring.
Patrick Cooper says, I'm very worried about Braun. He's in such a bad spot since last year. I feel he needs a refresh. They really have booked him poorly.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But it is one of those things that you get a big guy in and you push him like an unstoppable monster. And then you're like, uh-oh, now we need to stop him.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to stop him because you're unstoppable monsters. Vince loves a big guy. Yeah. Vince always likes booking a giant.
But then the problem is every single match ends in four guys turning up, throwing hundreds of ladders at him until he goes, oh, he's been pinned once. It's like, oh, this is so unimaginative.
I don't know if a refresh is what he needs.
No.
But some, I mean, I want to say, I'd say time away, but he was injured last year and did have some time off, but... Mm. Just keep
wasn't long
from,
enough. Though,
no, keep away from bloody Baron Corbin would be my first guess.
Yeah. Interestingly, Adam Daly live says in America the show went off air shortly after Brain, I think he means Braun, was pinned. Not Brain, Braun standing tall.
Oh, so okay, so it was after Sammy pinned him.
Yeah,
interesting. Mm. Oh, my feed it was. They went live. Went live with him putting through a table. All the stuff on WWE.com is him putting through a table as well.
Because he's Braun.
Message retracted with a donation. So thank you to Message Retracted.
Thank you, kindly.
Sir Nord says, shout out to Randy Anidatson for getting my name right last week, but I'm from Sweden, not Norway. Sorry, Søren, I'm also Swedish. This is probably why I got your name right. But yeah, I'm sorry for saying you were from Norway because I know that's incredibly offensive to anyone from Sweden.
No one knows.
Because Norway's a terrible place. Cody Russell says, can we get a Robert Roode break?
It feels wrong with Ollie not here to do the Roode break. But there is someone in the comments in our videos who, like, every single video is like, do a 10-hour version. I was like, who would watch it?
I think we could whip that up.
It won't take long. It should copy, paste. Paste.
Get one of those birds.
Homer.
Press the any key.
Patrick Cooper says, also thanks for this new setup with the live show.
You're very, very welcome. We're very much enjoying doing it. Mm-hmm. It saves me editing time.
That's mostly why.
That's mostly why we did it, because it saves me an hour and a half each day.
KJ says, just donating to say, get well, Ollie.
Indeed, get well, Ollie. Thank you very much for your donation.
Outlet Boy, no message, but a little donation from
Thank
Outlet
you
Boy. Ben Plim, 1981, says, big up Luke and El Spoiler Door.
Oh, what's Spoiler Door done? What were you? Oh, is this the Game of Thrones thing?
I think it's the Game of Thrones thing.
If only people cared about that show.
Yeah,
I've completely...
I didn't write the title.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I've been completely stitched up by Ollie Davis, who wrote the title.
Yeah, Ollie wrote
the
title, and we somehow got the blame for
it. Yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
I don't know how that happened.
No, I don't know.
And Søren has messaged again to say, damn it, Luke, get my name right, in reference to the fact that when you wrote his name, you put an O with a line through it, which is a Norwegian thing, but it should have been an O with two dots over it.
Tell that to Patreon.
An umlaut?
It should have been an umlaut, but it was a whatever that line is called.
Patreon. I just get things off Patreon reports. Have a word with them.
How many more do you want?
How many we got?
Eight.
Let's have five.
Five.
Six.
Sean Turner says, where is Ollie? I can tell him about female Bailey Sting and Shane's nepotistic push. Love you, Fake Adore. What are your thoughts on female Bailey Sting?
Do you know about this?
No, I don't.
So this guy has been pitching this idea, which I love, by the way. It's to do the Sting storyline, but with Bailey.
Amazing.
So she has been like, hugger Bailey, but then... You just start putting up on the rafters with like the face paint and stuff and carrying a baseball bat around.
I love it.
Love it.
I absolutely love it.
Pro Bailey. Whenever.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
No, I'm all sold.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rad.
Because then also she can change her intro. So when the things go up, They've got the face paint too.
Well, I said that, but they could also be carrying baseball bats. Around,
hitting members of the audience.
Oh, God.
They could be full of crows, which just shoot out.
There you go. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, there's so much you
can do. It gets better and better each time we talk about this.
Ollie's sitting at home. No.
Ollie's not watching.
Valab Mamidipudi says, to make life easier for everyone, please just call me Blind Raw. Okay, we'll do that. Who do you think should be Bray's first feud? We've also kind of talked about
that. Yeah, Joe or possibly... Actually, Seth would be a good shout.
I think just any title. I think he should just go straight into a title feud and he should probably win it.
Yeah.
Bray... Adam Pearson. Not Bray Wyatt. Adam Pearson says, Bray Wyatt has stolen my gimmick.
How's he now? Are you Dave Benson Phillips? Don't know. Apparently so. Okay, well, we'll take Adam's word for it.
Dylan Voorhees says, oh, this is the guy who said he hated women earlier, and he's now saying, am I the only one who's hating the Raw women? Natalia, particularly, apparently.
Well, no, if you read the WrestleTalk, in fact, I'm just going to give you a quote from the WrestleTalk 50. If you could just fill for time while I find this, because I was reading this the other day.
Hi, Laurie.
It made me laugh.
Hey, mate.
Yeah.
Do a question,
yeah, good.
Div.
Yeah, great. Another question.
I found it. Natalia, this is directly from the WrestleTalk magazine. Natalia is perhaps the most overrated performer in WWE. She receives constant acclaim from fans, but in truth, she's not had a great match in years, despite being given plenty of opportunities to do so. She's found a comfort zone, and she sticks to it rigidly.
I 100% agree. I think she's rubbish. Last
she's fine.
One
she's serviceable.
From Bubba Rick says, thoughts on this new Nikki Cross angle?
Well, we'll get into that. So rather than discuss that now, we'll discuss that when we get to the show itself. But I've got mixed feelings on it, and because I thought it was going one direction, then apparently I was wrong.
Yeah, I feel like it still could go in other directions.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure yet what they are.
But the show opened with The Miz. We were, of course, in London, England, so there were lots of great British flags, and Renee referenced fish and chips at one point because that is the obligatory English reference you must make when you do a show here in the UK.
We only eat it at the seaside, Renee.
Come on, it's London. Got a panini.
Pie
more than
and
likely.
Mash. Go to a Pret.
But Miz opened the show and they recapped him attacking Shane on SmackDown and Shane laying him out with a steel chair. Mm-hmm. He plugged Money in the Bank and that brought out Roman Reigns. This was, we won't go into mass detail on what was said in this, but this was your typical Raw angle, which you highlighted to me, you and Simon.
Every single Raw opens with this exact same thing.
It's two people coming out and not having a conversation, but talking about, they're cutting promos separately.
Yeah, they are.
But it's framed like it's a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Two people are coming out and talking about what they wanted to talk about, which is completely separate to the other person, and then someone else, lo and behold, comes out and says something, blah 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 blah, four person tag match. And it's just, this is just the formula, or four person or six person tag match. It's just the Raw opening formula.
Yeah.
And there were some good bits in this, and there was also just some bits where I was like, you are just filling for time. Like Miz explains the entire premise of Money in the Bank.
It only happens once a year.
I know it only happens once a year, but everyone knows what Money in the Bank is. Like,
yeah, no, I agree with
and
you.
And like, it's in all the packages for Money in the Bank. Miz doesn't need to stand there and go, he goes as well. It's like getting an Infinity Stone. So I think you're thinking of the Infinity Gauntlet, mate, because that grants your wishes.
Yeah, I was like, going to say, the stone does nothing. I mean, it might make
the
you
time
more
one's quite good.
The power is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Reality can make turn into springs and whatnot.
Yes, oh, reality could make you the champion. You could reality yourself into the champion. But yeah, Miz, you got it wrong. But not to be a pedantic.
Long story short,
not to be a pedantic nerd, but you got it wrong, Miz. However, yeah, he's just spends 10 minutes kind of explaining this. Roman comes out. They start Miz TV. Miz is doing the babyface angle, but saying, "Oh, we're both film stars." Roman says, "Oh, I don't want this Miz. This is like old Miz. I want new Miz." And shows the promo of him chasing Shane with the chair and the limo and the smacks, and everyone goes, ooh, and Miz starts to put that over. And then they both just have completely separate conversations again.
Yeah, because Roman's going to be facing Elias at the pay-per-view, and Miz is facing Shane McMahon in a cage match. Miz said a line where he said, Shane is bigger and better than I am. And I thought I'd bring that up because well, that line is said again later in the show by a different person.
So I really liked other than that, like saying he's bigger, he's better, he's faster, he's stronger.
It's Shane McMahon, though.
He is the peak of humanity. But any of that stuff aside,
God.
This promo from Miz, which, again, it's a Miz TV show that he's doing with Roman. It's an interview. He turns and just delivers it all down the barrel. But it's amazing.
It's great. He's really
like,
good.
You were born with a silver spoon, but we'll see how a silver spoon meets a steel cage. There was lots of like little bits of rhythm, and I just thought it was really good, and it was fired up, and it got the crowd really into it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good as well. And then Shane comes out and he cancels Miz TV, and then they're attacked by Bobby Lashley and Elias. So if we're keeping track, I guess that means that Roman and Elias were two of our four wild cards. Or was Elias not a wild card?
Is it four wild cards?
It's four. Yeah, it's
four. Well, they've upped that, haven't they, quickly?
They upped that last week because Lars Sullivan convinced Vince that it should be four rather than three.
Oh, I remember, because he was big.
Because I
remember. Oh, yeah, it should be four.
But yeah, so that led to a tag team match between Elias and Bobby versus Miz and Roman, which went quite a while, but actually was pretty good. There's some really good stuff in here. Mm-hmm. But a DQ ending, which was lame.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the wrestling in the match.
I thought it was okay. It was just big dudes doing big dude things.
Big dude doing big. Yeah. It was a typical Raw tag match, but I had very little problem with it, and I actually quite liked it.
I liked, and I'm not sure about this DQ finish with Shane.
Did not
like the
finish.
And then he comes in and chucks a load of potatoes around, like
breaking more ribs.
Yeah,
can't believe he broke Miz Dad's rib. He is just dreadful at this. And
he's just too dangerous.
Well, yeah,
his punches are so hard.
But it was a knee strike that broke the rib.
Oh, no.
So the story, this is what Miz Dad told
you can't him. Contain the power.
So Miz Dad said this on a podcast recently. Turns out he wasn't supposed to get in the ring. They'd said, just stay on the outside, but just follow Shane's lead. Because Shane was calling the match, apparently. And then Shane, like father, like son.
I'll fall off this.
Like father, like son, changed his mind and asked Miz Dad to get in the ring. And that's why Miz Dad's mega awkward about it and just like didn't know what to do, so he just does the the pose. And then the first thing that Shane does is knee him in the chest and break a rib.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
You should have, like, if you were going to get him in the ring, you should have practiced something.
You think?
This. Yeah. My lord.
Anyway, Shane calls the DQ, and then the heels attack them, and the numbers advantage, but then Miz gets a chair and he sends them off, and Miz and Roman stare down Shane because Shane is feuding with two people on two different shows. He is truly the best in the world. Seth is backstage talking to someone.
Yep.
Just a shot of him talking to some lad. I was like, who's he? And then we got a video package for Rollins versus Styles. And they told the story about how they both worked hard to get to this point. And there was no TNA or Ring of Honor clips, but they quite cleverly showed like young AJ Styles by the couple of appearances he had on Nitro and on SmackDown back in the day.
I like this. So it's had a sort of sports documentary vibe.
Yeah, totally.
I really
like their promos they did later on as well. I thought it was a really nice presentation of this feud as opposed to just doing like the big go-home brawling angle, because they've done the big brawl angle. So this was a nice different way to do it, and I actually really liked it.
And I think it keeps something back for Money in the Bank, because I kind of feel like AJ might be going full heel at Money in the Bank.
And he keeps dropping in his hints that he's got friends.
Yeah, exactly. I think this might be the full like turn for AJ, but I don't know. But this kind of is a nice way to keep them apart, and we don't have to reveal too much ahead of time.
And turning
there's nothing more to say as well. Also, when it's just a sort of like at the moment, it's technically a kind of respect match.
Yeah.
You know, like this is kind of just like
Seth says he lost all respect for AJ.
Yeah, but you know, he's doing it for his own self-respect then, because this is what he says later. But
I don't think turning AJ heel is the worst thing in the world either. I think he's had probably his time in the sun as a baby face.
Yeah.
And also Raw could do with some like main event heels.
Yeah.
Because they're heels.
Well, they're not going to put Drew in the main event.
Well, I was going to say, because all their other heels are the mid-card of evil. Mm.
But that's the entire mid-card, Luke.
All right, up next, finally debuting on the show after a couple of weeks doing a promo and then multiple weeks not being on television, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo took on the third wild card of the show, Apollo Crews, because I forgot he was on SmackDown now.
I mean, what a way to devalue the wild card rule as an exciting, whimsical addition to the show. And the wild card is Apollo
Crews. Apollo. Oh, and he's lost in a minute.
You can stop paying attention now to the wild card rule.
Yeah. I got a message last night from the editor who was writing the thing, and he went, "Is
is he on SmackDown or Raw? Like, I'm thinking SmackDown, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because when I wrote down
Elias...
His
name comes up in blue.
I wrote down that Apollo was the second wild card because I forgot that Elias was on SmackDown now. It's very confusing with all this. I'm very, very unsure of
it's
who's on what
as
brand.
It's almost if it doesn't matter.
Yeah, pretty much. So Apollo... Apollo came out and he hurt his knee.
So he fluffs a flip, doesn't
fluffs
he?
Fluffs a flip and he hurts his knee. And then Mojo targets that while laughing maniacally and he won. Crowd were deadly silent. I didn't even write down a finish of the match. My notes say Mojo targets the knees, crowd don't care.
Mojo looks like, he looks like a div. I hate it. So.
With the little like light.
Yeah, and his little weird, well, cracked, his little weird vest thing. But then his little shorts. I don't know.
It is the actual like polar opposite of what Bray Wyatt is doing.
Yeah.
Like Bray Wyatt has like come up with this new
character. He looks
character
like, yeah. Mojo looks like
so
he's going to GAY on Halloween is what
it's
he looks
so,
like.
So, this Bray Wyatt thing is so interesting. It's so fascinating. And it's so clearly wrestler driven. And I wonder if this Mojo thing is wrestler driven as well. But if it is, it's pants.
Yeah.
It's not very good at all. This, it's not, I've said this a couple of times and I apologize if this comes across as me saying, oh, I think this is for sure. I don't think this is going to get over.
No, yeah, because all he's done is draw on his eye.
Yeah.
It looks like he's had an accident with a Parker pen capsule. Like, when you go to school and all your pens explode, and you're just like, oh, no.
Oh, no. Ollie put it best in his review where he said he's basically Taser Face now from Guardians Volume 2. Yeah. Taser Face! We then got the Alexa Bliss segment where she was backstage on her phone. She was talking to the, I'm going to guess, Heathrow Airport as an international flight.
Yep.
Could have been Gatwick, but I think most US ones go out from Heathrow. So she was on the phone to Heathrow because they'd lost her luggage. And then Nikki Cross walks up, totally not Nikki Cross.
Yeah, like...
just having a conversation.
She looked quite glam. Like, they'd done her up quite, like...
Yeah, she was just Nicola Cross.
Yeah.
And she had teased this in a YouTube video, I think, on WWE's YouTube channel, that she was looking for a change of character. That was where she also confirmed that she was now on Raw, which Meltzer had reported months ago that she was going to be part of Raw, and everyone was like, no, she's on SmackDown, because the graphic for Worlds Collide said she was part of SmackDown. Mm. So... I guess plans changed and she's on Raw. So, yep, she's on Raw.
You just make stuff up, it don't matter.
Wild card. Anyway, so she walks up, totally not in her Nikki Cross character, and she's like, I've been here for 4 weeks and absolutely no one has noticed. And Alexa's like, I just need someone to talk to. And Nikki's like, you can talk to me.
Mm.
And they have a chat. And then Nikki essentially gets herself, she's like, a true friend would replace you in the Fatal 4-Way that's coming up later because you haven't got your gear.
Mm.
And Alexa's like, that's a great idea. You should replace me in this match.
Yeah.
And then she walks off. And then Nikki Cross gets the Nikki Cross smile. And I was like, aha, right, well, I get this now. Alexa thinks she's playing Nikki Cross. But Nikki knows this and it's actually playing Alexa. That's what I thought the storyline was.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the match happened, and then I watched the WWE.com YouTube interview with Nikki Cross, where she was just, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so thankful to be in WWE, and I'm able to, quote, perform in front of all of these great fans out there in London. I'm from Glasgow. I've always dreamed of this sort of opportunity. And I was like, wait, so is your character, you're not nuts anymore? And if so, why were you then acting nuts during the match?
Yeah, yeah.
This is woefully inconsistent and actually quite annoying.
Yeah, but also, because if you're going to like, you don't have your gear, Nikki Cross wrestles in jeans.
Alexa Bliss,
buck up!
Alexa Bliss wrestled in heels and won.
Yeah.
Like, she's fine. Yeah. She's okay. She can win these sorts of matches. She's apparently the best.
Mm.
So yes, the Nikki Cross thing is a bit weird.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like there's potential for it to go somewhere in Money in the Bank. And I kind of, in my head, I'm hoping that Nikki Cross gets involved and just takes the briefcase. And it's like when she just...
to do that.
And it's, and it's like, no, I don't want Braun. I don't want Braun to do that at all. But this was just a suggestion for Braun. It's much better if it happens with Nikki. Because it could be like when she just took the NXT belt.
Yes.
Which they never paid off on.
No.
And she just gave back. But like that moment at the end of the show was great when she just took the belt from Shayna Baszler and ran off.
Yeah.
And was like, my belt now.
Yeah.
And they should have done that storyline.
The come play with me, Nikki.
Yeah, they're sort of holding something hostage that people want.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
I'm slightly concerned that the story is just going to be a rehash of Nia Jax and Mickie James, where it is, it's Alexa Bliss has a friend. She doesn't like that friend. They then feud. Yeah. Like that, I don't need that storyline a third time.
And they already set this up in this episode as well, to some degree. Mm. Like, you know, at the end of the match, when Nikki wins the match, which we'll go to in a minute, but like Nikki wins the match, she gets a ladder, helps Alexa climb up, well, gets the ladder and sets it up, and she goes to climb the ladder, and Alexa drags her away and climbs up the ladder, gets the briefcase down and stands there.
Yeah.
And Nikki is smiling and looking a bit dopey at this
point.
Pointing
and being like, I did this.
Yeah, but there was a point where Nikki was going to climb herself.
Yes.
So I don't know whether they're going to do like...
I don't
how quickly can you break down a friendship in WWE terms?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Yeah. But
Do you not just think it's because it was in the UK? That they just thought, oh, Nikki Cross, have one match and that was it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but she could have just been in the match anyway.
Like, and you're right. However, it was the post-match thing, like as Laurie said, where Alexa pulled her out of the way. And like that, the promo that she did for WWE.com, which I guess is different continuity anyway, was her saying that I did this for Alexa Bliss. We're now friends. So if the storyline is, which is what I thought it was originally, that Nikki is playing Alexa, but Alexa thinks she is playing Nikki. She thinks she has the upper hand, but Nikki is actually manipulating Alexa.
Yep.
That, at least, is a different spin on a story we've already told twice over with Alexa.
Yeah. Oh, she's so clever.
But if it is just Nikki is now just Nikki, and she's not NXT Nikki Cross.
Yeah, and she just thinks Alexa's her best mate.
That's very poor.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's not great. Anyway,
I'll be cross.
Yeah, speaking of not also that great, Cole was in the ring for the double contract signing for Becky Lynch defending her Raw Women's Championship this Sunday against Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair in separate matches. Cole says that one of Becky's nicknames is Champ Champ.
Champ Champ.
Is that what? I've never heard that nickname they have for been, Becky. Champ Champ.
She calls herself the Champ Champ on Twitter.
Does she?
The Champ Champ, yeah.
That's rubbish. That's
I don't mind it.
Oh, that's rubbish. Becky Two Belts is good.
Becky Two Belts is the better of the options.
Champ Champ is
Champ Champ.
Sounds like a crap Pokemon.
Mm.
Like when they went through that period where they a pen's a Pokemon now. Yeah, so Cole asked Becky if she knows how hard Money in the Bank is going to be. And Becky says, Flair and Lynch are bigger and better than I am. And I'm like, who are these writers that are just giving people the exact same material?
Yeah, it's lazy. I liked the thing where she said, like, yeah, they're bigger, they're better, they're whatever. Like, but the bit where she says, like, they're going to put me through this horrendous beatdown. But the thing you don't realize is, I don't care.
Mm.
That I like that. That line is great, but you don't need to put them over so hard by being like you're bigger and better. Just be like it's two matches. You're fine to say I'm going to come out of this badly off because I've had to have two matches in one night. You don't need to go. They're also bigger
better
and better.
Than me.
They're clearly not because you've beaten Charlotte. You've beaten Charlotte loads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think promos where you put over your opponents is so good. I always go back to the Triple H Cactus Jack promos for Royal Rumble 2000, where you got Triple H going, you are the king of the death match with this, that, and the other.
Yep.
One of the scariest men on the planet. But I am going to beat you.
Yeah.
The problem is that these two promos, the one that Miz cut and the one that Becky cut, essentially was like, I'm crap, they're way better.
I am the underdog. Yeah,
but like, I might win.
We're trying too hard to make yourself the underdog as well. Like, you can be an underdog without having to...
Say.
Yeah, I am the underdog.
I am the underdog here.
Yeah.
Randy's got his hand up.
Champ Champ is a Conor McGregor reference, apparently, according to the comments. Apparently, that's what he calls himself.
Oh, okay.
He was the champ.
Oh, so
champ.
It is something crap then. Yeah. Cool. Anyway.
She's the Burger King.
So. That's Jerry Lawler's gimmick. Becky says she's going to win. And then Flair cuts a pretty rubbish promo.
Oh,
this was horrifically scripted and blandly delivered by Charlotte Flair. And these are the segments where I'm like, this is why I wouldn't want to go to a Raw TV taping.
Yeah.
Because this went on for a while.
Yeah.
And it never got interesting.
Because I thought it was pretty good when Becky was cutting her promo.
Yeah,
and she said to Lacey.
And the crowd were massively into her as well.
Yeah. She said, like, obviously the pressure's going to be on me, Lacey, but the pressure's also on you because when the bright lights hit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live up to all of the talk that you've been doing.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be very difficult to do with my foot on your neck, basically, was the gist of it.
Yeah, I thought Becky's promo was really, really nice.
And then Charlotte kicks in
and be like, you beat the baddest woman on the planet, but on Sunday, you will bow down to the queen.
Woo!
jeez, get to the point, will you?
Yeah.
And then Lacey has to do her stereotype, like, you know, he's like, I don't want to get my dress dirty, honey, and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, it's like, it's all a bit too much.
Like, how many times in this promo did Lacey Evans say the word classless and class? Like,
nasty.
Yeah, I just... Like, she's got about three things that they've Googled the bare minimum of, like, Southern debutante kind of, like...
Yeah.
They don't even know the word debutante, I imagine. But, like, they've Googled, like...
I was impressed.
What did Southern Belles do? They're, like, they're into sort of, like, being classy.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And
peach cobblers.
They have got that far with it.
Yeah.
And they've never thought to look even remotely deeper.
No. There was a point as well where, I liked... Becky had a great line where she said that on Sunday, Lacey's going to lose her first title shot and Charlotte is going to lose her millionth title shot. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's great. And then Charlotte says... This is all going to come crashing down. You are rubbish at this.
Yeah.
Lacey says they deserve a proper lady as a champion, and then it breaks down into a fight. Numbers get too much for Becky. She gets put through a table. Now, I've said this about the Becky, Charlotte, Lacey stuff for the last few weeks. I'm going to say it again here. All of the segments I like in principle because they are telling a very simple story. Becky has got to have two matches on Sunday.
The odds are stacked against her.
The odds are stacked against her. And every one of these segments, she is always underneath.
Yeah.
She is always struggling because the numbers game is against her. Mm-hmm. Last week, it was all about Money in the Bank. So some really good stuff they've done with this.
Yeah.
And the promo work from her has been very good. The promo work from everyone else has not been.
No.
And I think that some of the segments have felt quite clunky, and I thought this was quite clunky too.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think it also doesn't necessarily make sense to me because they're doing this whole thing where, like, in this promo specifically, the numbers game gets advantage of Becky. Like, Lacey and Charlotte put her through a table. Lacey and Charlotte will not be in a match at the same time. No. Therefore, in this bit, we saw Becky handily handle both of them individually.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't feel like, really,
yeah, that's a
like,
good point. Yeah.
You know, so she stands to lose probably... The actual risk is to lose one belt. It doesn't really feel like the Becky no belts doesn't feel like a possibility because one of these matches, she's going to walk all over the other person.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Lacey up first. Lacey up first!
Yeah, I was going to say, they have to be Charlotte first.
Yeah, they have to. It has to be Charlotte first because it has to be a war.
Yeah.
And then I think then you've got the option, if Becky retains against Charlotte, you've got the option that Charlotte interferes in the Lacey match. Because if Charlotte wins the first match, why would she bother to get involved in the second match?
Yeah.
Unless they're going to start a Blondes of Evil vibe, you know, like with Charlotte
Don't
and Lacey.
Don't give them ideas. Yeah, People watch this
yeah,
show.
The Blonder Twins, like, you know. But like, so yeah, Charlotte's out of the picture in that sense. Or she's going to be, yes, if she loses, she might be involved in the Lacey match. Plus you've got whoever wins the Money in the Bank
yeah.
to contend with. So yeah, that match suddenly becomes... really high stakes. But the first one, I feel like it's just a one-on-one.
Yeah. I think we're going to have Becky two belts come Monday.
I do too. I don't think this is the time to lose it. I think...
Merchandise is doing too well.
I think you're better off using the Money in the Bank to take it from her.
Yeah.
Like, to take something exactly. take something from her, stealing it. Because you could also steal both of them.
Yeah.
Surely. With them, like... does it like? Do you get a choice? Like, if it's a match where she's defending both of them, if you walk in and use the Money in the Bank and you take both of them?
Well, yeah, but is it a wild card thing? Like, if you so say Alexa wins it, does she then have to win the Raw belt, or could she say I did it as a wild card
there
and I won
too
it as a
many
SmackDown?
Rules.
Right. Well, okay. What came next was not good.
Mm.
Baron Corbin versus Ricochet. Positive. Silver lining. This was the best Baron Corbin match I've ever seen. Head and shoulders above every Baron Corbin match I've ever seen.
There wasn't a rest. There was barely a rest hold in sight.
Crowd
couldn't get it. Couldn't get it. That's
Crowd
why.
Couldn't care. But Rick O'Shea was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I write down Rick in my notes.
So. Right. Rick O'Shea
was very, very good. Did lots of springboards. Did lots of big moves. Lovely, lovely stuff. And then Baron won.
Yep.
So it's only taken them a few weeks, and Ricochet is already Finn Balor.
Yep.
Which is just that you are in the land of the giants, you're too small, you can't win.
Yeah.
And we haven't got Leo Rush around for you to beat, so you just can't beat the big guys.
Unless
you're
he's,
too
yeah,
small.
Unless this is setting him up for a really good showing in the Money in the Bank match.
But he'll have the Kofi spot. He'll have the Kofi yeah. spot that Kofi always had in Money in the Bank ladder matches, which is like, hey, go and do the big high spot, but you won't win
they
at the
are
end
absolutely
of it.
Going to have him moonsault off a tipping ladder.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But it'll be great, and it'll create a lot of really good highlight moments. But if it comes off the back of it and he just keeps losing to Baron Corbin and other big guys, then it means nothing. I'm concerned that Ricochet is going to end up like Finn Balor. And Finn Balor just means diddly squat right now because they spent so many years being like, he's too small. He can't beat the big guy.
It's just so dumb. But it's so dumb when you've got so many guys of like the same size that you do this to. Yeah. Like, why don't you just... You're doing a superstar shakeup. Put all the big guys on one brand and have them do their thing. And put all the other guys on the other brand and have them do their thing there. And then we don't get into any of this stupid, like, well, he's a foot taller.
Also, it's not real.
I know, but if this is genuinely your problem and it's booking you into a hole, why wouldn't you change it?
That's very true, yeah. Anyway, yeah, Baron Corbin won. That sucks. Good match. And then Corbin grabs the ladder and tries to climb it. They try to give Ricochet some heat back by having him push over the ladder. Crowd were not into this at all. I felt really bad for Ricochet. Felt really, really bad for him.
Yeah. He made Corbin look good, though. So, he did, you know, yeah. Props absolutely. To Ricochet.
Thumbs up for that. Yeah. As I said, looking for the positives, it's the best Baron Corbin match I've ever seen.
But mostly because Baron Corbin was stood there doing this while Ricochet did flips around him.
We then got a recap of Joe talking to Dominic last week, and then Charlie's interviewing Rey Mysterio, and he's talking about Dominic. And then Cesaro walks in and says, this isn't bring your son to work day, this is a wrestling world. Mm-hmm. They get into a bit of a scuffle, and that sets up a match later on.
He also says that Dominic looks a bit like Joe.
Yeah, they were sort of setting up this, like, I'm your pappy thing. But we all know that Eddie Guerrero's his dad.
Yeah.
That was proven.
Oh.
Then we got the video package for Roman Reigns, the one we got last week. I've written last Sunday, but that's the wrong day. And then we got AJ's interview with Not Renee Young, where he says that he meant to hit Corbin last week. He wasn't aiming for Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. He was trying to hit Corbin, but Seth got in the way. But he says he will beat Rollins on Sunday. Simple and effective. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got what was my surprising match of the week is the four-way between Naomi, Dana Brooke, Natalya, and Nikki Cross. I thought this was actually very good.
I
enjoyed this.
They'd thought about it.
Yeah.
Stuff happened where
there
it was like
big
they'd,
spots and
they'd
stuff.
Worked out how to do stuff with multiple people in the ring at once.
Yeah, I liked it. You're having a giggle there, Randy.
So just jabbing on and being funny.
Okay. Yeah. I thought there was some chaotic action in this. Bliss came out to do commentary, which Renee was surprised about, despite the fact there was an empty chair next to her that hadn't been there previously.
Nobody knew where the stairs were for a bit. There was a brief moment where no one had a clue where the stairs were.
No one was helping Alexa. Yeah. Maybe she is the baby face here. And she was there to cheer on Nikki Cross, who picked up the win. So the only person not in Money in the Bank did win. So you could always say that against it. But I think if Nikki Cross is getting involved on Sunday, then at least they've set up Nikki Cross and they're doing something with her, which they haven't done since she was called up in December. Thumbs up again. Always look at that positive. Plus, Dana Brooke did a dive off a ladder and she didn't look like she was going to die doing it, which fills me with confidence
for
Sunday.
There wasn't much either up or along in her travel, but
it was all down.
It was all,
the way
but
down.
But it was good.
She was going so far that she nearly ended the other side of the ladder. Like, it was just all the way down.
I like the fact that she did that, and that's when Nikki picks up the win as well. She does this crazy dive and wipes everyone out, but it's Nikki who just stands up, chucks someone in the ring, goes, purge. I'm done.
Well, my big note about this, aside from that, and perhaps giving credence to the WrestleTalk magazine's review of Natalya, Natalya just completely no-sells the dive, just gets up, throws Dana into the barricade, and just starts doing moves. And I'm like, come on, mate, sell the move at least. I think it could be interesting, this Alexa Nikki stuff, but there is every chance it could go nipples north and just become every Alexa Bliss story we've had previously.
She can't just keep having mates. It's boring.
It is boring. What wasn't boring, segue, is Rey Mysterio versus Cesaro. Very, very good match. Thoroughly enjoyed this.
This was the highlight of the show for me.
I really enjoyed this. And Cesaro looked awesome during this match. He had a moment where he went to do the 619, really played it up to the crowd and was just like, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
It was so, so good. Rey was awesome. Cesaro was awesome. This is a big old thumbs up for me.
My favorite bit was the bit where Ray does the slide out of the ring off the apron into a sunset flip to do the powerbomb. And Cesaro just catches his legs, into the big swing.
Yeah.
Once into the barricade, like from quite short distance, like a little bump into the barricade.
Yeah.
But then all the way back around into the other side of the barricade. I was like, it was so good.
This match was awesome. Yeah, really, was really, really, really enjoyed really this. Good. Cesaro deserves way better. But giving Ray the win makes total sense. He's going for the US Championship.
Absolutely, yeah. But this says to me, like, if I was watching this and I was backstage, I'd be like, we should be doing something with Cesaro. Because, like, yeah, he can just be inserted into matches. Like, obviously, he's a great base. Like, he's a really good person to put in matches.
I'm all about that base.
No treble. But, yeah, like, you can just put him into places and he'll provide someone with the ability to do what they need to do. Like, he worked perfectly with Rey Mysterio, and it looks like such a mismatch.
Yeah.
When you think about it, like, Cesaro has been wrestling people much taller in tag matches for the last year and a half, 2 years.
Like, I think it's longer than that. Yeah. Been like, for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he's been just doing the bar stuff, and then you put him in the ring with Rey Mysterio, and it's like magic.
Yeah. Absolutely wicked. Really, really enjoyed this. We then got the Revival cutting a promo backstage after a recap of the Usos being knobheads. And they had a funny line where they're like, you know, we're shaving our back and the balls in your court now. And called them skid marks and the underpants of society. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm with the Revival on this. I think the Usos are childish morons. And I want to see the Revival beat them up.
Yeah, I don't know why that's babyface to be an asshole. Like, it's,
I have no idea why. Like, yeah, it's totally
it's
backwards.
The Braun Strowman booking, though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you can kill someone and you're still a babyface.
Right, well, we've got two more things to talk about. So let's quickly talk about Seth's promo before that he did with Not Renee Young. And they showed clips from a 2006 match from NWA No Limits of Seth versus AJ. It was like the one other time they clashed. And I loved this. I loved them using this kind of history. Very, very cool. But it does bring to mind Bruce Pritchard on his podcast. Every now and again, he's like, in 2005, 2006, we were starved for talent. And I was like, yeah, because you thought Luther Reigns was a good idea when all this amazing wrestling was happening under your own bloody nose and you just didn't want to look for it. But I thought it was cool and I thought Seth's promo was good.
Yeah. I'm super excited for this match.
Yeah, like, I think it's going to be really good. But here was the best thing on the show.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, this was
Leaps
the best thing
and
on the show.
I think Cesaro Ray was the best match on the show.
Yes.
Lots of good stuff in this third hour because then we got the Falls Count Anywhere match afterwards. It actually was a really... like, you know, backloaded.
With, I think, my favourite Sami Zayn entrance of the last 5 years.
His good. Not caring entrance is amazing.
But when he goes up the ladder, it's
But anyway, amazing. We got our Firefly Funhouse segment for this week. And Russell Votes had tweeted out before Raw went on air that get ready because it's a darker Firefly Funhouse than we've seen previously. And they were not wrong.
No.
Because he's got a secret. And soon he'll reveal what really he's been working on. But he needs all of his fireflies. You just got to let him in. He said, there's still darkness in this old noggin, but I've learned to control it. Mm. And then, holy heck, is this goes dark.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Firefly Funhouse set stops being the Firefly's Funhouse set. And it's like, it's the
creepy dollhouse.
The creepy dollhouse stuff we've been seeing before we got the Firefly Funhouse. And it's sort of like 8 week period that they've been doing this. And it was really creepy, really well shot, really well edited. The sound mixing was amazing as well. And then Bray reveals his brand new gimmick, his brand new attire, where he's got almost like circus ring, like circus tent.
Like ringmaster.
Ringmaster, yeah. That's the word I'm after. Yeah, thank you very much. And a scary, scary mask, because it turns out he's a big fan of Slipknot. And he's got his braids let down, and he just looks, and he just goes, yowie wowie.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is terrifying, but it's awesome.
It's amazing. But it's like starts with him just going, let me in. Yeah. And then it does twinkle, twinkle, little star.
I loved this.
I'd be interested to see if he wrestles in the mask.
Oh, yeah?
Or whether he takes it off when he reaches the ring and he's got like crazy face paint or something.
Yeah.
But what a visual.
It's such a cool visual.
Yeah.
And because they've been saying that he's been working with Tom Savini on, like, you know, the guy who did Friday the 13th and Friday the 13th Part 4, Dawn of the Dead and all this sort of, like, you know, a legend within the special effects industry. And they said, like, he did, like, Mercy the Buzzard, which admittedly doesn't look very good. But Abby the Witch looks quite good. It's quite creepy and effective. This mask, if this is Tom Savini's work, which I wouldn't be surprised about, it's so cool. It looks awesome. This is a massive, massive, massive thumbs up. Cannot wait to see more of it.
Well, I think Mercy the Buzzard works well as like
as a children's toy.
I think it works well in the Firefly Funhouse set. That initial reveal of it made out to be this epic, monstrous, what's in the box thing. And it was like, oh, that's naff. Yeah, it was that. But yeah, once it was in the set, it kind of all made sense again. Yeah. But yeah, this mask and gimmick, though, I'm so into.
So into it.
It shouldn't work.
No, no, absolutely not.
It definitely shouldn't work. And it still might not when it when it gets to the ring, but...
And I don't know, man.
Even if it's just... Do you know what? Bray Wyatt, never wrestle again. Just do promos. I'd happily watch just promos.
And I'm so hopeful this works.
Yeah.
I'm so, so hopeful that this works. I don't want this to go tits up next week or in the next couple of weeks.
It takes... Yeah, this is... But this is, like we were saying earlier, this is the time to get behind Bray, right? Like, this is the time to finally pay off on all of this nonsense you've put him through, where you're like, he's a cult leader and he can't do anything and he can't beat John Cena, and John Cena can beat everyone, yeah, but oh, maggots. Like all that
you're
stuff.
You're scared, Randy. Yeah. I lost.
Yeah, exactly. This is the time to just have him come in and be an actual monster.
Yeah.
Because he's also really interesting.
Yeah, really, really cool. Yeah. I loved this. Yeah. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Because his first view can be with himself.
Oh,
it can just be the guy on the funhouse thing versus that monster thing. Perfect.
So yeah, I love that segment, and I very much enjoyed this episode of Raw. It flew by for the 3 hours, which, you know, I suppose it dragged during the Becky, Lacey, Charlotte thing, only because I thought Charlotte's promo was so bad.
Yeah.
And I thought the start was a bit stilted as well, and wasn't really into the Mojo match, but I really enjoyed Ray and Cesaro. Mm-hmm. I really liked the women's four-way. Falls Count Anywhere. Best Baron Corbin match I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all the AJ Seth stuff, and I loved Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah.
I actually thought this was the best episode of Raw we've had this year. By like a far margin, it's the best episode we've had this year.
Ollie chose a good week to be ill.
The only one that Ollie's missed.
Yeah. I, you know, at least he got to do his review. And so I liked this episode. I'd have given this episode core. A 4 out of 5 rating. What say you?
Yeah, I think I'd probably agree with that. But then I don't watch it I don't watch Raw religiously.
Yeah,
so
I have been ground down.
Yeah, I dip in and dip out. So
last week I said that I've got a holiday coming up in June, and I was so looking forward to it. A, because I want to go on holiday, but B, I don't want to watch Raw anymore.
Mm.
And this actually made me not only excited to watch next week's Raw, but also to watch Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
which previously I wasn't actually that fussed on.
Yeah,
so. Thumbs up, WWE.
Well done.
You did good. Right, Randy, we have gone long on this episode, so we need to get through some super chats.
Quickly, Savini tweeted today it was his mask.
Oh, it was his mask. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Excellent. I'm very, very glad then. Because Tom Savini is awesome. He was the basis for the Corey Feldman character in Friday the 13th Part 4.
And the Natalia fans have come out in force. But Bradley the Wolf says, would you say early 2010 WWE was slightly better than today's when we had Punk, Cena, Miz and Edge with full-timers? Also, Los Angeles or New York City? ?
Well, I've not been to LA, but New York is like my favourite place I've ever been to.
I have been to both and I prefer New York.
I've been to only LA and I don't like it. So probably New York.
It was too much.
Yeah, my dad said it, so it's really bad. He said it's a bit of a hole.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Everything's really far away.
And he said it's all very smoggy. It's very gross there. But perhaps that's just
2010 WWE, was that better than today?
No.
I think they had a bit more mystique about their top tier guys.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Edge and Punk were obviously like kind of really big, very over characters. So I think there was that bit of it that was probably better. But I think the rest of the roster was pretty like... Yeah.
Exactly, that's the problem. Like, all the undercard was nothing.
Yeah,
like,
it was all main eventers. Yeah, the main eventers were fantastic, but everything else was just meh.
Yeah, I think the quality of wrestling is better as well, broadly.
Benny Sato says Rat Mouse, and I don't know what that is.
Mouse Rat? It's my T-shirt. It's the band from Parks and Recreation.
Okay. Start recording.
You're 5,000 candles
says,
in the wind.
Does Sami Zayn have a chance of winning Money in the Bank now?
No, I'm still going with Andrade. But, man, so I think Sami's got a better chance than Ricochet.
Dude, it's going to Raw. Come on. It's Money in the Bank. It's going to Raw. I think Sami's got a good chance. I quite like the idea if Sami takes it. But maybe I think this is just me going like, that would be really fun to watch. But... Yeah. Probably not. Mm. It's probably going to go to Braun Strowman somehow.
I can definitely see them doing it on SmackDown just because that's an easy way to take off Kofi. Shaded Bear says, plus you guys get all this sweet, sweet donation money.
Oh, thank you very much. We very much appreciate that. We appreciate every single person who watches these live streams. We love you
all. Manga Girl says, my first Super Chat donation. Just wanted to say I love watching your videos and get well soon, Ollie.
Thank you very much, Manga Girl. What's your favourite manga?
What's your favourite mango?
No, I said mango. What's your favourite mango you've ever had? I want the time and date, the best mango you've ever had.
Yeah.
And what's your best tango?
What's your best flavor Rubicon? It's mango.
I bought Rubicon earlier. Danny,
no one asked.
Danny, you're on that topic.
No! Do the super chats!
My girlfriend messaged to say Laurie's no longer her favorite because he's being mean to me and Ollie's now her favorite.
Couldn't care less, mate.
Danny DeVito says, I don't have anything stupid to say, so here's my dollar.
Oh, thank you very much, Danny DeVito.
Condite Faison says, I always thought Bailey storyline, but in the form of a half heel turn, like when Sting was half face, half Joker.
Oh, what, the TNA era Sting, where yeah, he was Joker Sting, which was fine up until he got that bird into Eric Bischoff's office. Then Eric Bischoff couldn't get out of the office because he was scared of a bird. God, TNA was crap for a time. When it was Hogan, Bischoff, and Russo running the show.
Oh, man. That
was
terrible.
It was unwatchable. Yeah. Bad. Abyss was feuding with AJ Styles over Hulk Hogan's Hall of Fame ring. It's like bloody Green Lantern. It's been giving him a ring. It's like, this gives you all the powers of Hulk Hogan. Absolute tosh, mate.
James Schmidt says, should WWE bring back Tough Enough but for a creative position in the company? Entry could need network subscription to ensure fans are involved.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Tough Enough should come back anyway because they don't do anything with Tough Enough winners.
No.
Tough Enough winners, the problem that you have there, on a more serious note, is that you get this big money contract and then you have to go to NXT, where you earn like 10 times more than everyone else is, and everyone else is really struggling like financially, and you're there just with your sweet, sweet dollar bill, y'all, and no one likes you.
Well, this, I think the thing is also, if you were doing creative Tough Enough, it's all psychological Tough Enough. It's like, can you take a hazing from Vince every week, the hour
before
you're meant to put the show out you spent
Velveteen
all week
Dream
on.
Was in Tough Enough.
Now he's, yeah, but look how long it took him. And it took him to be able to like sort something out. Also, that's one person of the 25 seasons.
Who won it last
time?
Was it ZZ or something? Or ZZ?
Yeah, and I think both of them are gone now. Right, yeah. Maven. He eliminated the Undertaker from the Royal Rumble.
Anthony Eng says, I'm $2 poorer now.
Well, bless your heart.
You're richer in content.
Yes.
Oh, good
one. Jay Buller says, what do you guys think about the new Mojo gimmick? Also, Randy, did you change your diaper? He said this last week, and I don't know what he's talking about.
You look like a baby.
There you go. A big giant baby.
A big giant hairy baby. Says two bald men.
Yeah.
Quite often, when I see other children. When I see children, they're staring like little babies always staring at me. I don't know if that's because they just think, "Oh, look, a big one."
Like, that's a bigger version.
That's
of
a really big baby.
Yeah, Mojo's gimmick. What do you think?
I'm not into it.
Is it? It's not a gimmick. It's face paint.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Yeah. The Zornis says, "I heard Nikki saying, go to the McMahons and ask for a replacement." And then Alexa turned the words into her mouth, but I am not a native speaker.
Yeah, I think she had said something about like asking the McMahon, but I think she might have said like a true friend would replace you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Randy Michelle says, or Mikhail possibly, will you guys ever come to California, and how do you feel about Bray winning the US title and feuding with Aleister Black?
Ball. Can't do that because Black's on SmackDown and the US title
is on Raw. Wild card!
Oh, wild card, I guess you're right, yeah.
He could be the wild card every week.
Every week. Well, at least it would be something to do.
Yeah.
What was the first part of the question? Would we go to California? If someone booked us to go, yeah.
Mm.
If someone booked us to do like a live podcast.
Paid for our flights.
And paid for flights and everything like that.
Can we not go to LA though? Can we go to San Francisco?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's
Alcatraz.
Fine. Yeah. I actually would like to go to San Francisco, yeah. So, yeah.
I've been, it's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
No one else. I was asking him.
Jer Personen says, for you, Luke, I've been waiting in the shadows for my time. I've been searching, I've been living for tomorrow's all my life.
In fairness, that's not going to get stuck in my head because I made a joke yesterday about the Lazy Town song, You Are a Pirate. So that's been stuck in my head now. I woke up this morning going, You Are a Pirate.
Lazy Town's got some great songs, though.
No one asked. I'm kidding. The only reason I know that song is because I used to work in a toy store where we got given one CD with 12 tracks on, and that would have to last us for 3 months. So you would listen to that one CD, you'd do this about 3 or 4 times a day, every day for 3 months. And it had that LazyTown song, You Are a Pirate. And I think it had a couple of other LazyTown tracks on it, like in the year that I worked there. I can't remember those ones, but that one has just stuck with me.
But imagine doing it now and it'd be Baby Shark.
Okay.
You would turn into Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah,
burn the toy shop down.
Because I didn't mind that the pirate song is very wacky and it's quite funny. I've no idea what LazyTown is. I'm 33 years old. I was in my 20s when I was working in that store, so I've no idea. But the other song, they tried to like mix in like regular songs as well. Mm-hmm. So for
Gangster's
3 months,
Paradise.
If only for 3 months, I had Rick Astley's "Never Gonna Give You Up"
four
times a day Rick-rolled for 3 months straight. And do you know what? I liked that song going into that job, but I'm like, I don't think I'd listen to it anymore.
Do you know what? I am gonna give you up. Crack on, Andy.
Okay. Alvin Jones says, "Hello, lads. Any possibility of Nikki Cross getting involved with Money in the Bank, or you guys think this is a one-time thing because of being in the UK?"
No, I think she's going to get involved on Sunday. I think it's the start of a storyline.
You'd hope so, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, if it's just a UK thing, then that's even lamer.
That's the worst. If it's a UK thing, she could have just come out.
Yeah.
Like she did last time they were in the UK.
Yeah, totally.
Benny Sato says, "Ringmaster equals Stone Cold."
He was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Victor Vega says, "Shame on you guys for making fun of my pain." And that's about him losing Becky Lynch.
Okay. Sorry.
Benny Sato says, "Rat Mouse is when they played without Andy. Lol."
Oh, I see. Well, I prefer their other nickname, or the other name they had, which was Five Skin, which I thought was a much better name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't watch Parks and Recreation? I may go, and it's very good.
Okay, I will. I'm just watching the US Office, but I will do that after.
Parks and Rec's way better.
Okay, I will.
That and The Good Place are way better. But also, yeah, no one asked.
Benny Sato. No, that's the last message. Sarah Pro Fitness says, "Wasn't The Mix and Linda Miles bracket Shaniqua on Tough Enough?"
I think The Miz might have been on Tough Enough, yeah. Shaniqua was as well, but she lasted like a month. She was with the Bashams as their dominatrix manager. Then she left.
The Miz definitely was, yeah.
Yeah, Miz was. And John Morrison and Ryback.
My
the
favorite.
Big guy.
Benny Sato, message is from him saying, "San Francisco is trash. Andy Murch is not."
Well, San Fran...
You've mixed some things up there.
Yeah, San Franians or whatever
you're
called.
You got yourself all muddled.
Go after... Who was that? Was it Benny? There?
Benny Sato.
Go after Benny Sato, apparently. He doesn't like your town. He thinks your hometown sucks. It's like a modern-day Elias.
What did I do over the weekend? Oh, so on Saturday I went to see my family for the most of the day, and then I went to see Detective Pikachu.
Oh, we're gonna go see it tomorrow. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Load of tosh, innit? But
is it
load
really?
Of tosh, but with smatterings of Pokemon. It's what you would imagine the film to be. The plot makes little to no sense. But it's very enjoyable to watch Pokemon on the big screen. Mm. And Ryan Reynolds as Detective Pikachu is really funny and brilliant. Kind of makes me wish they'd cast Danny DeVito, though. And if you've seen the film, you'll know why. Because some of the final scenes would have been much better had it been Danny DeVito. But yeah, I really, really liked it.
Okay.
But I know that I'm a Pokemon mark. So
yeah.
I was very much the target audience, but 20 years too old to be the target audience. You know what I mean. I was there to see Pokemon on the big screen, and I got that.
Yeah. It's the exact same feelings I would have had for the 2019 Sonic the Hedgehog movie had it been released in 1995, and I'd watched it as a child at like peak Sonic fandom, where I'd have been like, that's the best one I've ever
what
seen
is
in my
this
life.
Hideous monster?
Oh, that's the best film I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I know it's... It's like, I had the same thing about the Flintstones, because I was a big fan of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
I was like, live action movie is awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. It's brilliant. Look at it. It's the Flintstones on screen. The same thing with the Street Fighter movie.
I don't know if you're cut out to be a reviewer, Luke, frankly. you haven't got the chops for it.
Well, I was a child.
The critical eye.
I think now I look back at the Flintstones movie and be like, this is a remark. It's remarkable this even made it to the big screen. Mm. It had like 30 different writers on it. It's just, it's incredible. It's coherent, if anything. It's not that great, though.
Yeah, the Detective Pikachu is just like, so much of it is just nonsense technology or people just going off crazy hunches and being like, he must be alive because of this. And it's like, okay, well, fine.
Let's just go with it.
And yeah, and like the gaping plot hole at the end, which I'm not going to spoil because you're seeing it tomorrow, but there's a gaping plot hole at the end.
We shall discuss on the Thursday podcast.
I cannot believe that that is a thing.
There's going to be a busy couple of weeks at the cinema now. We can tell that we're getting into blockbuster season because I'm going to see Detective Pikachu tomorrow. Next week, John Wick Chapter 3. I think John Wick Chapter 3 is out now. So yes. I wanted to go see that. Aladdin's see out that. Next week. Although, bloody hell, did you see that IGN clip they released of them doing Prince Ali? Good crikey.
Put some effort in.
Someone tweeted the perfect way to describe it. It was like, in the animated version, they was like, what if we took Robin Williams and just got him to be at his comedic best and really accentuate everything that's great about Robin Williams doing voiceover work? And then this modern day one is just like, what if Will Smith fell asleep standing up?
Yeah,
because it's a sleepy old performance.
But it also, it's the sort of thing where, like, if you were watching that come into your town, you'd be like, oh, this is rubbish. Oh, it's like, God, yeah. It's Disney. They know how to do a parade. Like, yeah. They do a parade. They practice every day at Disney World.
It is quite shocking in how lazy it looks.
Yeah.
I'm a bit concerned about that.
Like, and I also get the idea that it's, like, live action, so they're probably not going to go, like, ham on the magic, you know? But, like...
It's a genie.
Something. Yeah,
it's
like,
about a magic lamp.
He's got a magic carpet. Like, it's
got a monkey friend.
Like, yeah. He's an elephant in this scene.
Oh, of course,
in this specific scene.
You're absolutely right.
But yeah, like, do something fantastical with it. Don't make it like, at least Beauty and the Beast doing Be Our Guest did it really lavishly,
yeah, totally.
And like was like living up to sort of that cartoon vibe of like it's kind of crazy. We can kind of do what we want because it's not real people here. Yeah, you have to use real actors to be the dancers and stuff, but there's crazy stuff you can do. Like, why can't he summon more people up and do
also,
all this like weird?
It's the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, I
like
know.
It's not like he's not musically talented.
Yeah,
he had a very successful music career.
Yeah,
this should be second bloody literally second nature.
Yeah, but
to
he's
him.
Waiting to do the song that's just called Aladdin, and it's a rap about Aladdin. He just wants to do the title track of films.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aladdin. Party in the city when the heat is on.
Aladdin in the street to the break of dawn. Yeah, and then you've got Rocket Man.
Rocket
I think
to Agrabah.
It's the week after that. It's also, there was something else as well. That was Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Oh, yeah,
at the end of the month.
That looks fun.
So we're in for a busy few weeks. Lion King, I think, is out. That's July, I think, or is it? Oh, yeah, July.
Is it really?
Yeah, and in July, you've also got Spider-Man and that X-Men movie that people seem to keep forgetting is coming out, but
yeah, yeah.
Fox
it's coming.
It's coming.
There was another trailer yesterday.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it still had the
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. Line in. Brilliant.
Right, anyway, we are going to go get ourselves prepped for this live stream. But quickly, Andy, in as few words as possible, how was your weekend?
I saw Endgame on Friday, which was good. I played cricket and then I watched football.
I will actually just quickly on the Endgame thing. Mm. You've not seen Infinity War or the majority of the other Marvel movies. Mm. How did you find Endgame? Did you at least follow it?
Yeah, yeah. I watched a 45-minute recap of Marvel prior to going to watch it.
You know, there's a 10-minute version on ScreenStalker.
I know, but I thought that maybe it wasn't going to be long enough because I really hadn't watched that many of them. I liked it. It was enjoyable. It had great moments. And so, yeah, I thought it was fine.
Fine.
It was fine.
Yeah. Ostensibly fine.
I was not
the highest grossing film of all time.
Not fine. Quite there yet, is it? I don't think. Let me have a quick check of that. It was, I know it had passed Titanic. This is exactly what people wanted to tune into this for. I know we wanted
it
to get out
of here. It was the best superhero film I've seen.
Okay. I mean,
yeah. You could be damning with faint praise.
Actually, I do really like Dark Knight.
Dark Knight is very good.
It's 300 million off being the biggest of all time. It's 300 million behind Avatar, but it's you know, it's in its third week of release. So
yeah,
I think it will probably
I think it's
be fine.
Be Avatar, yeah. Until Avatar 2 in 2020, whatever it is.
2020, I think they pushed it back to.
Yeah.
God, who could possibly
I love the fact
that
they booked in
point.
To do five more. Like, yeah. They were like, No. It's taken us however many years to do Avatar 2. We're going to do 3, 4, and 5 as well.
It took us 11 years to get to this point.
Let's
do another one.
Idiots.
Just do a different film, James Cameron. Yeah. You liked it, but you're the only person who still cares. Yeah. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this wrestling podcast where we talked mostly about movies and being drunk. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Maybe I Davis will be fine. Maybe he won't. Maybe you're going to get a whole week of Laurie and I doing podcast reviews.
I might be ill tomorrow. At this rate, I might be ill.
Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.